things that we are engaging on an issue that is quite critical, an issue where we must all rally our forces together to try to resolve. I want to welcome you to this meeting. I know that we are going to get engagements that are going to chart the way forward to a solution to this issue that is what it calls for. Maybe before one goes on, let me give you the issue of apologies. I have apologies from Mrs. Honorable Dlamini. He's having another meeting with a delegation from the Department of Health. For the record, also Honorable Stock is on study leave. Those are the two apologies that I'm aware of. Maybe other members will be joining us as we proceed. I don't know from the committee secretary, are there any other formal apologies?
Good morning, honorable members, and the deputy minister and everyone present in the meeting. I don't have any other apology to say that honorable Dlamini is saying the Nigerian delegation that they're supposed to meet is delayed, so she's coming over this side now.
Oh, okay. All right. I had actually said that the purpose of our engagement is to deal with this issue of cash for jobs or jobs for cash. That was in the city press for a long time, up to such time that the minister had to put together a task team to conduct some kind of an investigation and come up with a report with the findings. It was as if Deputy Minister, it was such, according to city press, that was being implicated. But we are aware that it's not only SATU that has actually investigated. All the teacher unions were given an opportunity to actually present their case. The school governing bodies says ELRC, the media itself, are some of the stakeholders that were interviewed with a view to trying to seek a solution and come up with findings and recommendations. GM, I'm going to give you a first opportunity because I know that this report has already been to the portfolio committee. It is now coming to us as select committee also to make our own input and deliberate over it. Let me hand over to the Deputy Minister to give us a political background on the whole issue, after which then the DG will take over for purposes of presentation, and then thereafter we will engage. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and esteemed members of the Select Committee, and I'd like to welcome Honourable Ngwenya from the EFF. Good to have you with the Select Committee. It's a very vibrant Select Committee, and I think you're going to quite enjoy being with this team of hard-working women and men. Honourable Chairperson, firstly, let me apologise. The Minister would have loved to be here, but it's that time of the year where we have to split our responsibilities in a way that we could contribute purposefully and meaningfully to the task ahead. So I'm not going to be long, just merely to raise the background, and the background, as you correctly indicated, is that there were reports in the newspapers indicating that jobs were being sold for cash, that unions, including in particularly SATU, was involved in that particular process, and that it's a matter that should be dealt with seriously, and there were also threats, and indeed there was a suggestion that lives that were even being lost. The minister took this very, very seriously, because we can't have a system in terms whereof people are appointed on the basis of sale of jobs. There's due processes that have to be followed. It's a matter of integrity of the system. And she set up a task team. And the task team itself was ably led by a chairperson who's very well known, Professor Follman. And the team comprised auditors, forensic experts, department members from the Department of Justice, members from the higher education institutions. So we had a very credible, very sound team that looked at the matter and looked at it intensely. A preliminary report was presented, and that report was not the final report because there had been after they, as they were busy with the finalization of that report itself, there were other complaints that were received which required further investigation, and indeed, given the importance of this matter, the minister agreed to an extension of time in order that there would be this thorough investigation. The principles that were followed by the ministry and the department, led by the DG and his predecessor, was that where there is criminal action, irrespective of the outcome of the report, where there's criminal culpability, you proceed immediately. In other words, you don't wait for the report to be finalized, tabled, debated, and then proceed. Where disciplinary action has to be taken, it should be taken immediately. So immediately evidence came to hand. In fact, on the preliminary report, the minister instructed the MECs for Education to execute the recommendations appropriately so that there is no delay. We take this matter very, very seriously, and indeed the report does reflect on SATU, but it reflects on other unions as well. It also indicates the role of officials, that officials have played in the appointment of personnel within the department. It also reflected on the role of governing bodies. In fact, the report makes some very some very good suggestions, some of which had been implemented long before we had received the recommendation anyway. But it, for example, suggests that all educators above post-level 1 should be appointed by a different mechanism and governing body should not have a role. We hold a different view with regard to that. We say, yes, with regard to principles, there has to be the element of competency, proficiency, experience and qualifications. But with regard to other staff, governing bodies in general play a very, very important role, and we don't want to remove that particular responsibility. So there are some recommendations which require our attention, but many of the recommendations are already contained, in fact, had already been addressed in the draft legislation. Mm-hmm. And that draft legislation hopefully will be to be tabled in Parliament in the early part of next year. It deals with a range of issues that provincial departments had raised, and the team that constituted the legal team that looked at the review of the South African Schools Act, as well as the Employment of Educators Act, as well as the NEPA Bill itself, or Act itself, was made up of the Western Cape, Gauteng, and two other provinces. So it was representative. They were mandated by the provinces to carry out the task, and it took them some 2 years before they dealt with this matter. I raise this as a background to say that most, if not all, but most of the recommendations that have been raised there have indeed found expression in the draft legislation. Many of the, where there's been a violation in terms of the administration, we've instructed provinces to execute, carry out the proceedings immediately, and where there's been criminal investigation, indeed we said don't even wait for anybody, you proceed and lay criminal charges. So that would be the broad background. I certainly would want to invite the DG to take you through in a very succinct way, take you through the report, and I do believe you would find it quite enlightening. And thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson.
DG, over to you. I hope you will speak to the critical issues contained in the report, because we should be through by 12:30. There is another committee coming into the very same vein. So I would plead to that our engagement take us not later than that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. Chair, as you correctly observed, the report served at the Basic Education Portfolio Committee twice on the 27th of May, 7 days after the report was released. Mm-hmm. Then the Portfolio Committee requested that we present a report, mm-hmm. which we did. And then the second instance was just a few days ago on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. and today we are appearing before your committee. And just a small observation in my view, Deputy Minister, if there's any committee that is the owner of this report, my view is that this is the committee, the select committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to appreciate the fact that the committee has been patient with us to process the report, and we're coming before you not just to present the report,
mm-hmm.
but also to give progress in terms of the work done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to an evaluation of the progress that we have made and inputs that will be made from GHA. I must say that the report has been strengthened even from the last two meetings with the portfolio committee. You'll find it slightly different. There are certain areas where not much was done, but today I can confidently say that the report is much strengthened than what you would have maybe seen on the 23rd of this month. This is the outline of the report. It's a very long presentation, but as you directed, Chair, I'll try to keep it as brief as possible, just hit the punchline. Well, the purpose is very clear. We're giving a progress of, in fact, first, we're presenting the report and also at the same time providing progress. The composition of the ministerial task team, as the Deputy Minister correctly pointed out, these are members of the ministerial task team, and that's very clear. The chairperson was Professor Volmik, a very good mix in terms of the task that was at hand. Educationists and people in justice and forensic auditors, informed, of course, by the nature of the issues that had to be dealt with there. And, of course, the department provided the secretariat support. The methodology was mainly interviews, Chair, as you can see, but also reviewing some of the policies in the department, because as both the Deputy Minister and the Minister said, we're going to use this report to strengthen our processes, to strengthen our policies, to strengthen even our legislation. And you'll see as we go through the presentation that that has been done. Well, these are the groupings of stakeholders which were interviewed, teacher unions, the five teacher unions that we have in the basic education sector, all of them interviewed. We also involved the professional bodies such as SAIS and the ELRC. We also considered inputs and also interviewed representatives of the Association of School Governing Bodies as listed there. The scope also extended to educational aspects, and we've provided a detailed list of those aspects, ranging from those that are at university level, including those that are at the level of the school. And I've already indicated that it also involves the analysis of documents and also looking at data, which was reviewed for correctness and so on, transcripts and notes. And as you correctly pointed out, Chair, in the background, the point of departure were allegations made in City Press, to be more precise. And then that's where the ministerial task team departed from. And of course it went beyond that. Individuals who came forward to provide information, that information also became crucial in the work of the ministerial task team. As the Deputy Minister indicated, well, when it comes to specific cases, forensic experts had to be involved to look, to mine, so to speak, the information that was made available with a view of making sure that when we turn taking these cases forward, indeed we are working on something that can be sustained. And as I indicated, the report was presented to the Minister on the 20th of May this year. And then, subsequent to that, well, Cabinet was also briefed on the report. The Portfolio Committee also requested a briefing. It was presented at the Council of Education Ministers and HEDCOM, and the responses of these structures are also contained in the report. The report contains 16 findings and recommendations, Chair. It is also on the website of the department.
Mm-hmm.
Your Honourable Committee will appreciate the fact that we've summarised a very detailed report, but it is available on the website for anyone to access. It has both general and specific recommendations. There's a forensic part to the report. It's got 81 cases, which were initially dealt with, but subsequent to that, 39 other cases also came to the fore. Now, this is how the sector responded to this. The minister met with unions, because some unions requested to make a physical representation, as it were, over and above the written representations that they made to the draft report. And the minister then met with them from the 3rd to the 5th. And coming out of this meeting, some of the unions then, in fact, stakeholders requested that they be given an extension of 20 days to firm up their submission. In other words, to strengthen their submission. Some felt that after engaging with the minister, having seen the report and so on, it would be prudent to allow them to just firm up their inputs or the representations, written representations that they had already. That they had already made. Well, in respect of the response the sector to the findings, well, the sector responded by saying that PEDs and SAPs must immediately deal with matters that DM commented on earlier on, particularly your criminal matters. The view was that don't wait for the report to be finalized. Act immediately on matters that are criminal. In terms of recommendation number 2, the sector also responded by saying that, again, act on criminal matters and disciplinary action must be taken by provinces on matters that require their action, so to speak. In terms of recommendation number 3, the sector committed itself to decisively deal with issues that are raised under recommendation number 3 and to ensure that appropriate action is also taken where it's necessary. And then in terms of number 4, what the sector observed was that essentially policies and procedures are very clear, but people elected not to follow policies and procedures and simply responded by saying that various sectors must keep to their responsibilities and both provincial and national departments should ensure that roles and responsibilities are carried out as expected. In terms of number 5 and number 6, which is about recruitment processes, here, what we have done is to strengthen our recruitment processes where there are grey areas, where directives are not clear, just to make sure that they are clear and different components in the sector adhere to the stipulated procedures and directives. With respect to number 7, which is about competency assessment, Chair, what has been happening is that competency assessment is administered in Gauteng at Western Cape, but it is not mandatory. It's volitional, if you like, or out of choice. The two provinces could implement it, and it was not implemented uniformly. But what we are coming up with is a policy that is going to make this mandatory throughout the country, which means that all the 9 provinces will have to follow that. In terms of number 8, The sector agrees with the recommendations of the minimum requirements. And I'm sure those who come from the teaching profession will recall that the policy did not stipulate the minimum requirements for promotion at various levels of different post levels. But now we are saying that we are coming up with that. Number 9, it's strict adherence to policy. Number 10, there's a need to consider legislation and constitutional amendment, because as the position stands at the moment, is that it wouldn't be feasible to implement that recommendation until we effect, or rather, there's an amendment to legislation, Labour Relations Act to be more specific, and of course the Employment of Educators Act, and as well as the Constitution, and I think Section 23 of the Constitution to be more precise. That applies to 10 and 11. Number 12, the sector is of the view that we just need to adhere to what is provided in terms of policy, legislation and procedures, and if we do that, then justice will be done to this one. Number 13, again, is the same thing. So, if you observe, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, all these things are really occasioned by the fact that there is no strict adherence to existing policies and procedures. That's the bottom line. There's flagrant, you know, violation of existing policies and procedures. Number 14, we are working with the Department of Higher Education and Training and SAIS as the professional body to begin to inform the curricula of all institutions that are entrusted with the training of teachers, so that the correct philosophy which drives the direction of teacher education inform what teachers do in the classroom is reflected in programs that teachers are taking through. SAIS has started to carry out that responsibility, stipulating to universities, because universities are now responsible for training teachers, to say that in your curricula, in your program, these are the things that must be in your program, so that teachers that are produced from your institutions reflect these things that we expect them to be able to do in the classroom. Number 15, the sector agrees with its recommendations, with its recommendation rather, of strengthening the role of SAIS so that it exercises its role like your engineering council. It speaks with a very strong voice, as I said earlier on, to even instruct bodies that are training teachers to say, this is what you do for us to grant a license to teachers that you produce to practice in the teaching profession. If you are unable to do that, those teachers won't be allowed to practice in the teaching profession in South Africa. That's international experience, Chair. All bodies like this all over the world are expected to do that. The Nursing Council in South Africa is moving in the direction. It's not as strong as it should be, but we want SAIS to even assume a much more stronger role. Well, 16 was about the investigation carried out by SAIS. We are saying we received so far only a report on one case. We are working with them. As we speak, Chair, SAIS, unions and Association of School Governing Bodies are in a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. They are making presentations there as well today. The meeting started at 9:30. Consultations with stakeholders, starting with Cabinet. Cabinet noted the report and then requested the Minister to formulate government response. That has been done. That covers both a meeting of the 19th and meeting of the 26th. So the response of government in the form of the response of the Council of Education Minister, led by the Minister and Deputy Minister, has been done. CEM, the CEM's response was that there must be an urgent review to the appointment procedures principals and teachers with a view of strengthening recruitment so that we plug on some of the gaps that have been identified by the ministerial task team. Of course, the review of the South African Schools Act to look at some of the provisions that were mentioned in the Act with specific reference to particularly the role of school governing bodies in respect of the appointment of teachers. And of course, CEM also said we need to carefully look at some of the recommendations because they are not backed up by the Constitution or even by the existing laws. And that I have raised already, Chair. But CEM also cautioned that we should not take the decision that is going to exclude governing bodies in the appointment process completely, but we must find ways of strengthening and plugging on some of the loopholes that are existing there. And to ensure that only the teachers and principals who are deserving are indeed appointed. And again, CEM looked at this matter on the 28th of January the same year, and it continued to caution that at technical level, we look at the recommendations, interrogate them closely, make sure that we implement as fast as we can the ones that are to be implemented. The HEDCOM's role, Chair, without wasting your time, was just following on the directive of CEM. We thought it's important to document that. And then SATU, South African Democratic Teachers Union, also responded. And of course, SATU's view was that the ministerial task team didn't approach the task with an open mind, and that it also went beyond its mandate. And then it referred to specific recommendations as indicated there, 26, 47, 51, and 54. But what happened is that the minister then forwarded the observations of SATU to the ministerial task team, and the ministerial task team considered them and finalized the report after considering all these observations made by these stakeholders. NAPTOSA also supported some of the recommendations as indicated there, highlighted, but also did not support some of the recommendations as indicated. 6-7 is one of those that were not supported by NAPTOSA. South Africans on a base INI, the same. They indicated their support to specific recommendations. They also indicated those that they don't support and those that they partially support. NATU, National Teachers Union, well, NATU's view was slightly different from the rest of the other unions. The view of NATU was that this matter required a judicial commission of inquiry, which should have had the powers to subpoena and to provide even protection to those who are prepared to volunteer information. And their view was that because we approached this matter differently, it created limitations to people who ordinarily would have come forward to provide information, and people who would have been even forced to come and testify, those who would have not been willing to do that. That was essentially the view of NATO. PEU, generally Professional Educators Union, supported all the recommendations, but singled out the notion of cadre deployment to say that they also suffered during the process of recruitment because of cadre deployment. They were not viewed as favorable for cadre deployment and so on. That was the view that was raised by BEU. And National Association of School Governing Bodies, Chair, I would like to summarize all of them. There was one pertinent recommendation that Association of School Governing Bodies were concerned about, tampering with powers of school governing bodies. Naturally, as we would understand, it's about their membership exercising those powers. And they were outrightly objecting to that, to say that should not be considered at all. Progress, Chair, again, I'll try to just run quickly. What the Minister did and the Deputy Minister, they looked at these recommendations and then they decided that letters must be written to the affected provinces. You'd recall, Chair, that the report is saying out of 9 provinces, it raises concerns mainly around 6 provinces that seem to be mostly affected by the notion of post for sale. And then the minister wrote letters to MECs requesting them to action immediately those findings and recommendations which reflected on provinces. So far, 2 out of 6 provinces have given feedback to DBE on the progress that they have made. It's Mpumalanga and Northwest. But even then, it's just reporting on progress. The specific cases have not been completely dealt with. So that's what we are reporting on there. Recommendation and finding number 2. Again, well, it goes back to the explanation that I've given in terms of recommendation number 1, but much more specific to say that some of the cases have been completed by Mpumalanga and Northwest, but the rest of the other provinces are still dealing with these issues through disciplinary hearings, criminal charges that have been reported with the police. Recommendation number 3, Chair, these are cases in the main that have been referred to the police again, but also to say that appointment procedures are also being strengthened at the level of the ELRC. The ELRC has also started that process. As you honorable members would recall, those who are teachers, these procedures are also informed by resolutions that are taken from the ELRC. So the ELRC has also started that work. So that applies to even number 4, Chair. Number 5, we are also saying that provinces must follow what came from Cabinet, which directed ministers to ensure that delegation in terms of appointment must be carried out, but we are also saying that the ELRC has been brought in so that we strengthen your personnel administrative measures, the PEM document eventually. And we also look at implementing competency assessment throughout the entire country. Recommendation number 6, Chair, we only reporting on the process that has been taken by the department, CEM, and the 2 ministers to review the education legislation. We already have the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act bill that has been drafted, which is led by the deputy minister, and I'm sure he'll be in a position to shed more light around the amendments that are being considered. It's a host of amendments. As the Deputy Minister said, a process even began before the appointment and the report of the Ministerial Task Team of certain provisions that are being considered to strengthen various areas in the sector. Not only appointment, a number of other issues that I'm sure the Deputy Minister will shed some light on. Well, number 7, the minister has gazetted South African standards, standards for South African school principals. The gazette number is indicated there. That will be used to inform competency assessment for school principals. And once school principals are covered, we move to the school management team, deputy principals, HODs, and then the rest will be teachers. Teachers will cover last, but we believe it must start from the top. Chair, as I indicated earlier on, Minister, myself, and even Deputy Minister, we moved around the country, went to all the 9 provinces. In some provinces, particularly the 3 provinces, we made an effort to go to each and every district to address these issues that emanated from the report. And we're intending doing that. Follow-up visits will be happening from next year. And the minister has given a directive that we follow the same route even next year to try and address and even monitor that we deal with some of the problems identified here. Well, number nine is the same as the one that I've covered now. Number 10 really, and number 11, as I said earlier on, Chair, it goes back to the National Assembly and your Honorable House, the National Council of Provinces, to help us to implement those recommendations. Number 12, we are saying strict adherence to the policy and procedures, then it will bring that, it will address that matter. The same applies to number 13. And number 14, well, as indicated earlier on, DBE, DHET says are working together to deal with this matter. And then number 15, we've started already working with. We says we started already engaging internally on how we can strengthen the role of SAIS. And of course, number 16, I've indicated that we received only one case, and we're still pursuing getting the rest of those. Then the rest, Chair, are actually the forensic cases. I'll try to go through them quickly as well, 81 cases. The first one is closed case, Chair. May I also just indicate where we indicate closed? In the majority of instances, it would be where the ministerial task team said there is no evidence to pursue this matter. Mm-hmm. So close. Mm-hmm. As you would understand, Chair, some of the allegations made have some substance. Some are made out of various, factors.
Mm-hmm.
Motivating people to make these allegations. Some is out of anger because you've done this to a person. Some there is substance and there is evidence. And in those instances, we have undertook to really follow those cases up to the end. 2 to 4, again, no concrete evidence could be found. And then this matter has been closed. And then the same applies to 5. In terms of 6, we're still awaiting the report from the province. We've even written follow-up letters now to MECs and HODs to request them to give us information on these outstanding cases. In terms of number 7, we are also awaiting a report there. 8 to 11, the same applies except for the last issue right at the bottom. Which had to do with the interview committee which allowed to continue with the process and the principal was appointed. That matter has been investigated and what was found was that there was nothing untoward that happened there. So that case, that matter has been closed in respect of this case. In terms of number 12, we are awaiting a report from the province. The same applies to 13. 14 to 19, these cases have been closed because no evidence was found in this regard. And as I said, Chair, we worked with forensic experts from Deloitte,
mm-hmm.
as well as people who deal with these matters from the Department of Justice, which were seconded to the team to do this work. And they are the ones who advised that where we couldn't find evidence, then we must proceed and close the matter. 20 to 23, we're still awaiting a report from the department regarding these cases, which is Gauteng to be more precise. Number 24, the investigation is continuing in Gauteng and we are still waiting a report there as well. 25 to 37, which involves the Northwest, some of the cases have been dealt with. For instance, a case where an official was appointed who was less qualified or more less appropriately qualified than the other. The matter was then dealt with at the level of the arbitration. And the official who won the case at the level of the arbitration has been appointed. But we are saying officials and everybody else who was involved in the value chain. We need to pursue that matter. And action must be taken against those people who acted in this action which constitutes wrongdoing. 38, this matter has been closed. 39, we are awaiting a report. And 40, the matter has been closed. 41, investigation is still continuing. And we are seeing again here an official which had a gripe around the appointment. The matter has been addressed and then that matter has been dealt with. But we are saying investigation must again be pursued against the officials who are involved in an act of this nature. 42, this matter has been closed. 43, the affected person or official is no more in the employ of the department, but you are saying matters criminal must be pursued with the police, and will await the report from the province in this regard. 45 is closed, Chair. 46 also closed. 47, again on this one, the person is no longer in the employ of the department, but we also said to the province it doesn't end with that. If there are elements that are criminal, then the police must be involved, even though the person is no longer in the employ of the department, because if the person is no longer in the employ, you can't take disciplinary action because the person is no longer in our employ. 48 to 49, those cases have been closed. 62 to 67, they are also closed. 68, we are awaiting the report from the department, particularly in dealing with fruitless and wasteful expenditure in this regard. And then 69, we're still waiting for the province to finalize this matter with SAQUA. 70 to 72, these cases have been closed, Chair. 73 to 74, up to 75, they are also closed. And then 76, we are awaiting the report from the province. And then 77, this case has been closed. 78, we are awaiting a report from the province. 79, we are awaiting the report from the province. 80, this matter is closed. And 81, we are still waiting for the province to update us. Chair, as I indicated in my opening remark, after the ministerial task team dealt with the 81 cases, there were people who came to the fore after the report was presented, and then that led to about 39 cases. Mm-hmm. And I'll just quickly then give a rundown and an update on those cases. The first case in this regard has been closed. And then case number two, the post is going to be re-advertised. And then number three, we are awaiting a report on those two matters from the province. And then 4 to 5, we're also awaiting a report from the province in terms of the action that we expected them to carry out. 6, we are awaiting a report from the province. 7, same. 13 to 17, those cases have been closed, Chair, given the explanation that I've given earlier on. 18 to 21 also, those cases have now been closed because of lack of evidence. 22 to 24, those cases have also been closed. And 26, we are awaiting the report from the province. 27, that matter will be subjected, these matters will be subjected to the amendment or amendments in the Bella bill. And then 28 and 29, these cases are closed. And 30, we are awaiting a report. 31, this case is closed. 32, we are awaiting a report. And 33 is closed. The same applies to 34, up to 36 and 37. We are awaiting a report, Chairperson. And then 38, again, we are awaiting a report, including 39. Chairperson, which is probably the last but one slide, we put together a task team that will now follow up on each of these cases. The intention is to audit them so that at the fullness of time, sometime next year, if you call us back, Chair, to say give us a progress report, we are now will now be able to give you a progress report, having followed up to the province, each of the 9 provinces, working with officials from DVE, and then we'll be in a position, hopefully, to bring all of these outstanding cases to a close, and then probably finalize the report and give you a progress on how far we'd have gone in implementing the report. Chair, thank you for indulging me. I really tried my best. It's a very long presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Honourable members, it's time to deliberate over the report and engage by way of comments or questions, charting the way forward. Because at the end of the day, we need to deal with this issue of cash for jobs. Honorable Kaula was the first hand up, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Mpambo Spokane in that sequence.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, DG and his delegation colleagues. First of all, Chairperson, I want to express my gratitude to the Minister, like I did say when we were dealing with the budget for this department at the NCOP, for first of all having the guts to put together this team to investigate. I want to repeat that, Chairperson. It's not easy. I can understand, you see, the circumstances, but also a decision to say a team will be put together. And secondly, Chairperson, like the Deputy Minister was saying, and the DG was also saying, the team that was put together, it was not the kind of a sugarcoat kind of a team. We appreciate that. That it was not meant just to bluff those of us who are making noise about this, because the chairperson knows, you may not have quoted it, but I've been making noise about this right from the province when we were still there in the portfolio committee of education in the province. There was an instance where I was talking about the issues in Ilembe, and the chairperson of the portfolio committee wanted some more evidence on this, so that there could be follow-ups. Even when I came here to the NCOP, I continued to this because I knew it was happening. Chairperson, let me start with the last issue that I wanted to comment on, just because it's important so that I don't forget it. The case pertaining to the whistleblower in KZN, where a district manager was charged and two principals of schools, because a SATU official was killed, a SATU officer, Mr. Zondi, was gunned down. The district manager was a suspect together with two principals of schools from the Ugu district, with one SGP member. Be that as it may, Chairperson, that the court found what it found, I still want to appeal to the department that the department must still go on with this investigation. Don't rely on what the court said, because you know the statement by NATO is very important. That some people who would have come out because of the way it was conducted maybe decided not to be involved. So I still want to insist that Chairperson, the department must still go on with that investigation because sihlala kubantu DG. We've got relatives, we have friends, we have everything. Cutting across the board. Right now what is happening in the district where I come from and where the chairperson come from on education is that people are now being awarded, being thanked, positions at district level, as SEMs. Those who are on the other side are getting rewards. Those on the other side are being suppressed because the matter is considered to be over. I'm saying it is not over, Chairperson. It is not over. We cannot lose lives and people get rewarded for suppressing things and you go on to say it is over. It is not over. If I come back, Chairperson, to slide number 14, which talks about the stakeholders that have already been consulted on the report. I just want to express my regret that you are coming to us at this point in time. It's a complaint that we have always had at the NCOP that departments, DM, treat portfolio committees as priority number one, and select committees as Cinderella bodies. We are not. We are not. So next time, please do consider that. Please do consider that. I could hear the teacher was very diplomatic about why coming to us at this time. No, I'm not buying your diplomacy, teacher. Chairperson, the issues that have been raised by the your team, your MTT, they are very important. They are very, very important. I'm not going to go through them. But again, it's a repetition of the things that I've always been saying. But Chairperson, this is why I have a problem. The department is again tasking provinces to conduct investigations on the matters raised. The very same provinces that have failed you until you decided to establish the MTT. What difference is it going to make on the finding? You are not going to get any difference. It's going to be the story can end. I'm disappointed because, you know, the province is a brainchild of my party. And I do not want them to let us down because I want to go on to fight for them because I know there are other people in the room who want us to do away with the provinces. And they are saying, no, give more power to the provinces. But if they perform like this, you know, they defeat the idea. But on this one, Chairperson, what I'm saying is the department cannot solely rely on the provinces for further investigations and finalizing issues because the very same provinces have been quiet. Those of you, DG, your staff who were with us when the portfolio committee and the select committee were in Durban at the beginning of this year, they will tell you what the district manager of Ilembe was saying, what the district manager of Ugu was saying in respect of how education has been hijacked in the province. I'm quoting their own words. They were saying education in KwaZulu-Natal has been taken over, hijacked by a particular union. Close quote. It was their words. Now, the very same education officials in the provinces, you say they must take over these matters. It can't. It can't. It's defeating the very same purpose of this MTT. Do something else. Not only in KwaZulu-Natal, in all these provinces, do something else. DM, DG, do something else. You can't rely on these institutions. Of course, powers being what they are, you have to work with them. But don't let them work alone. Work with them so that we get the concise story of how these things are happening. I just wanted to make those contributions, Chairperson. I'm not going to go through this page by page. Lastly, maybe it will be the last one. Again, Kaula's objection, cater deployment, Chairperson. Cater deployment. Which has been there and is still there. And the MTT, I'm glad it's saying it's there. It is not enough, TM, that we have gone to the provinces and instructed them to do away with cater deployment. It's not enough. You must do more. Cater deployment is killing education. If there is one thing that is killing education in this country, suspect number one is cater deployment. We have just been to Sisong, Herigwala district, in our provincial week. Education is dying because of a district manager who was brought there as a cater. And as a result, you look at the two departments held under the very circumstances that education is experiencing, is trying. Education going down. Why? Because of management at district. Same government, two departments. The other one you can see is trying its best under the circumstances. But the other one going down because nobody cares. Because the problem is educator. So do something. Thank you, Chairperson.
I haven't had Kapisa for a long time raising his voice to this extent. Honorable Mwenye.
It's coming from the heart.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, GM and your staff. Thank you, my honorable colleagues. You know, it's really sad because I really respect the teaching profession. I am from a family where both my paternal and maternal grandparents are teachers, and both my mother and father are teachers, and it has been a profession that has been respected until lately. But my view from everything that has been said in the report is, I'm not going to go on about things that Honorable Kaula has said, because some of the views I believe, I'll be repeating what he has said. But in respect to the involvement of SGB when it comes to the recruiting and selection process, from my experience from the HR background, it's that recruitment and selection, it is very important in a sense that this is where you make a decision of having the best of the best in the department. And unfortunately, our schools differ from the private schools. In a sense, most people, the parents who serve in SGBs, sometimes are parents who are not educated, who do not have any kind of background that they can fall or back on. But again, it is important to have them in that process. So my suggestion is, can't the department offer some basic training for the SGB members on the selection and recruitment of teachers, so that they just understand the process, they just understand the profession as well, and knowing what is going on. In that way, they cannot be pushed into a corner, because right now they are manipulated, they are controlled by the teachers and the unions and the principals to say, we are going with this person. So they do not have a say. All they do is go sit there, window dressing. They are already told, Uguti, this is the person we are going with. So as parents, they need to have a say. So I wouldn't say take them out of the process, but help them, give them that dignity as well, that they are trained, they know what they're saying, they know what to look at and what is expected from them. Minister, it's I see there are a whole lot of cases here that it says they are closed due to lack of evidence. I don't know if, but I'd like to believe, as Bab Kaula has said, with looking at the panel, especially with the involvement of the forensic people, I'd like to believe that thorough investigations were done up to a point where the decision has been reached that there is no evidence and the cases are closed. But to those cases, especially the criminal cases, because it is said people have lost lives in these processes, I would appeal that they must be followed up, and the people who are involved in these cases must be given the harshest of sentences to make an example of them, to make sure that such things do not happen. Because unfortunately, it is still continuing, as Bob Kaula has said. People are still selling posts. There's still some threatening going on. So if these people who are taken into cells and that they're investigated get their harshest of sentences, I believe this will make a difference in this. Coming to the NATU's view, I support their view. I believe that a lot of people could have come up with a whole lot of more information, given the chance, given the protection. But I believe, Wuti, there are people who feared coming forward. And I would like to request that do not close this process. If someone decides to come up again and say, now I have the courage, this is what happened, do not shut them out and say the process has been closed. Please give them the chance, because this is the future of our children we're talking about. We cannot afford to have teachers who are criminals teaching our children and being there, because they are guardians of these children. Cadre deployments, I do not want to go on that, because Bob Kaula has said a lot, but he has voiced my opinion in this concern. I think these deployments have killed the teacher's profession. They have destroyed it, because they come in and teach and treat this profession as a political ground. It has done away with the integrity, it has done away with the ethics that we know teachers and the profession to carry. So I support Bab Kaula 100%. It was a huge mistake. Page 44, where regarding the outstanding progress reports, my view as well, do not let the provinces run on their own on this. Follow up, make sure that, give them deadlines, make sure that those reports, those outstanding progress reports are given in. And we have that report. And I think that will be all, because some of the 2-3 points Bab Kaula has already touched. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister NGG, and everyone.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let me welcome the report and thank for being here. It always makes us feel we are being heard by your presence. Mm-hmm. I must say, it makes us feel better. Minister is hardly here, but your being here gives us that light that we are being heard, and something will be done. I'm really grateful, and I think on this last engagement of this year, I should say that. Honourable Chairperson, I just want to point it straight up that this report, as is, and I want to say, affects all province, and at the end of the day, the South African child, Jefferson, suffers because of this cadre deployment, because some of the people are unqualified, and they're getting posts, and the South African child across all provinces suffers. And when it comes to tertiary, they can't produce anything. We end up getting dropouts, and then it becomes yes, exactly. DM, I would like to know, in your department, how are you going to retrieve the taxpayers' money from those who have been compensated and remunerated with, because they never qualified? Suppose your department has paid them monthly. I wish the report could have covered that per province. How many you found in the Western Cape? and how much was utilized in terms of their monthly remuneration, and the strategy that you're going to implement in retrieving that money, whether it's through their pension, that is not covered, the report is silent on that. There are strategies in terms of how are you going to, what's the recommendation, this is closed and not closed and all that, but I want to know from the taxpayer's consent, DBE has remembered unlawfully, so they've received the money unlawfully, how are we going to deal with them? Are we going to bring them to hook and send them to jail? What is the strategy in place? Just to extend on what Honorable Kaula said in terms of CADA deployment, I suppose DM, this comes after some time when so much damage has been done. And I'm thinking about the people on the ground in rural areas who might have wanted to report this from a bird's eye view and could not. Could we, for future purposes, have an 0800 number that would allow people on the ground to report this and not get this when there's volcanic eruption and the opposition has raised it? It is so late. At an infancy stage, people in each province, we allow that an 0800 number that will allow people to talk in their own languages and report the schedule that's happening there, because the SGPs are community people. Mm-hmm. And the people do know on the ground what is happening. And if you allow them to report in their own language on an 0800 number, allowing them not to use any set because they won't have, we will be opening the doors and prohibiting to work with things when they are at the worst stage, but at a preliminary infancy stage. So that is my suggestion from the NSOOP. DM, I want to also know, how are you going to strengthen your monitoring and evaluation system in the district, specifically in the district, because the districts connect national and the educator, but you need to put monitoring and evaluation. There is so much that we picked up when we went to Durban, when we went to the Eastern Cape in terms of this jobs for cash. But you find that the districts, and I'll speak specifically on the Eastern Cape, they didn't even bother to come to when we're in Mount Frey, to come and give a report to us. They are sitting in their office luxuriously, and national releases the money, but national does not follow the money, how it's being used. That is the monitoring and evaluation system. And I'm urging you, DM, that you encourage your officials to do the monitoring at a close, intensive consultation. That is very, very bad. At the end of the day, everything, whether it's NACTOSA, it's SATU, whether it's which union, whatever, the South African child is suffering. And we're talking about bettering the education. And if we doing this in terms of bringing freedom and allowing the doors of learning to be opening as per Freedom Charter of 1955, this is not doing justice to our child. At the end of the day, DM, the child suffers. They drop out at university because of all this, because it's greed. It is greed that is going to cause this country to go under 6 feet. Okay, I'm covered there. Kavla covered me there. Okay. Yes, I think I'm done. And the others have been covered by my colleagues. I thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Samk.
Nkosi Chairperson, mandijoin ooga bam ekwamkeleni le report. Apha ekuyamkeleni sihlalo isinika iphitha yento eyenzekayo iprovinces zethu. ba wenza kanjani Eastern Cape, wenza kanjani KwaZulu Natal kule nto ye recruitment and we are part of the provinces because we are sizalwa phaya and siyazibona ezi zinto iyayingqina ke report le. But Chairperson, mna ndifuna khe ndithethe kule nto yokuqiniswa kwe-SGB's DG. You know, andikhathali nokokuba andiyanga esikolweni andifundanga. Like njengam lo andifundanga mna DG, andinasileyiti and andithembi uba ndawasafunda. No-Abet kum akazundinceda kuba ngoku sendisengcwabeni. Kodwa ukuba umntu ongafundanga umnike ii-basics ngento okokuba ithini irole yakho kulo msebenzi, uyayibamba umntu ongafundanga irole yakhe ne-responsibility yakhe engafundanga. Into ye-SGB akufuneka into yoba kude zihambe zesikolweni ziyofunda ukuze zazi into yoba kufuneka zenze ntoni, but okokuba ubanike ii-basics into okokuba yinto le kufuneka beyenzile to make sure that i-education yomntwana esikolweni neutitshala yintoni efuneka yenzile esikolweni ugqibile. Let us go back to our basics of the education. What is the responsibility of the educator and the SGB? I think we will sobe senze bhetele kwelo cala. You know, kule nto recruitment in Eastern Cape, Dr. Khubusana region in East London, you have a district manager who's acting more than, or since 2012 till to date. Uthene kungade kuqeshwe, ingaba akukho mntu, there's no best candidate in that post. Ayiyo le nto ethi ke there's somebody who's playing in something, DM. I'm very sorry, DM.
No, I'm not following you.
Yes. I'm worried. You can't act since 2012 until now in a position where you can perform in that position. You know, it's because there are no best candidate or as soon as the funds to that post, because xa unepost, umzekelo, there was a district manager kula post. Why ke ngoku into bakude kube ngu 2016 abe la mntu akukaqeshwa uMr Mnguni since waye act apha? Unika AP picture as the department kubani lofuneke blanyiwe? Is the Eastern Cape Department of Education to Ezwelitsha, or what is the role of you DG? Wena DG wenza ntoni uqinisekisa into yoba i-Eastern Cape pha kula district yasento uyaqeshwa pha, so that eDr Khubusana sibe ngoku sinaye u-district manager ozawuperforma ngale ndlela kufuneka abe uperforma ngayo. You know, ke le nto ye funa singayibali sibalekele i-DM le nto ye khayinto lekuyitsho a K-Dad deployment. You know, it's not about Amakabane, because but sijonge into okokuba kutheni senzeka nje, yenzelwa ntoni, lwayenzayo uyenzela ntoni. Then if ukhona umntu owenza loo nto kudilwe naloo mntu, kungathiwa i-political party, because i-political party inee-policies ezikliye. Akukho political party ethi makuqathe umntu ongafundanga. For example, nawe DG i-ANC cannot appoint you DG because this is our responsibility to appoint umntu onjengawe DG ozokwenza umsebenzi as umweli, not into yoba ku-appoint umntu because engazukwazi ukuperforma emsebenzini. Mayisuswe kwi-political party because individual nto andiyifuniye kwi-political party le nto, because ngomso kuzawuphatha wena uzawukho okanye kwemasipala abathile ukhona but kuqeshwa abantu abangakwazi ukuphefoma. It's not about umntu kwipati nokokuba ngubani nalapha nokuba yeyiphini ipati, so mayisuswe but thina masilwisane nento ethi ngubantu esimfunayo kulo position. I think sizawukwazi uba ne-way forward but iripoti leyona Chairperson iyasincedisa isisa endaweni. Yayibona ke le nto yokokuba always xa thina singumntu wokugqibela as i-NSOP DG sibe ngumntu wokugqibela but ekugqibeleni xa kufuna kupasiswe imithetho because nangoku sizisa le ripoti apha there are recommendations ezithi the National Assembly and the NA mayijonge umthetho othile. Yiyo le nto uyizisayo le ripoti because uyayazi into bekugqibeleni i-NCOP singumntu wokugqibela ukupasisa lo mthetho okanye le mithetho. So masijonge mayikhawulezwe into iathendwe masinga and siyindlu enkulu apha if nditsho nemali le sizoyipasisa namhlanje ayisozipasi imali ingezanga kwi-NCOP. So noko mazikhawuleze izinto zize ukuthi ngexesha so that sizawuzijonga ingezingomzuzu wokugqibela. Siyayincoma iripoti but ukuba undifuna ukundixelele DG yintoni irole ye-district manager kwi-monitoring. Mhlawumbi ungangandiphenduli namhlanje. Ingaba zonke ezi district managers ziyawazi umsebenzi wazo? Secondly, kule nto ye-expire ingabi ii-district managers ezina umsebenzi ziwenza ngokwazo okanye zinikezela kwi-officials phaa kwi-department ithini i-capacity yezi officials zinikwa lo msebenzi uba ziwenze. Iyafuna ke DG into okokuba ebunyanisweni khe basondelelwe nawe ukujonge eziza kwi-officials national into okokuba ukhumve omnye umntu etitsha i-principal sithi andazi noba ndivakalana ungazi nokokuba xa esithi yena andazi noba ndivakala nawe umathi mo emntwaneni lwamtitsha into yoba umva kangakanani naxa ezawuthi andazi noba ndivakalana. Zizinto ezenzekayo siphila kuzo DG and siyazazi akufuneki sizibalekele but ekugqibeleni kufuna kubekho umntu o-akhawuntayo ngezi zinto zibhalwe apha. Kodwa ubuthi uzawuzinika uzawunika i-Eastern Cape kuntu uyidoyise apha kuleyo uyidoyise apha u-honorable usiphambo sibhukwana ne ureze into enemali ubani ekugqibeleni yimalini yona liqhithiweyo kuzo zonke ezi cases per province. Akungebi imali ebifana uba yenze omnye umsebenzi lo kutheni le nto zoze ezinye ii-cases apha district DM and DG siyaziluza okanye andiluze i-case in fact mna because andikasimdikoti but ii-department most of the cases siyaziluza kufuneke sibhatale kubantu ofuneke eblenyiwe ngenye ixesha uzawufuneka i-DG ye-department xa kufuneka kubhatale ungathe makubhatelwe u-DM okanye uminister u-DG abhatale yena ngokwakhe because nguye o-advisor the DM and the minister. So nawe kufuneka nye ixesha ukuphendula uba wenze kantoni kwezi provinces ngoba loku sukukhangele sakukhangela sakubona uba le post ifanele. So nawe ekugqibeleni kufuneka ukuphendula into yoba kwenze kantoni kwezi provinces xa zizonke. Enkosi sihlala ithinki ndiyikhuphile inkupho umhambe ngumntu wenkupho.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if there's another member that wants to further comment or another question.
We don't care for a question. Ek sal graag 'n kommentaar wil lewer. Ek dink Suid-Afrika in die departement het ongelooflike skade gekry deur die aanvanklike beriggewing. En ek dink daar's 'n groot afwagting dat iets gaan gebeur, want en ook ek dink deur die verkose komitee se besoeke onder andere aan die Oos-Kaap is hierdie goed openlik op die tafel geplaas. En nou het ek nou die aanbieding gekyk vandag en moet ek sê dit wil lyk van die as mens kyk na die aanbevelings van dit wat gebeur het hieruit, dat die Afrikaanse spreekwoord die berg het 'n muis gebaar eintlik van toepassing is. Want in die meeste van die aanbevelings of van die conclusies wat daar toe gekom word, lyk dit nie asof daar werklik substantiewe optrede was nie, of substantiewe oortredings was, of bewysbare oortredings was nie. So, nou, en ek wil aansluit met my collega van KwaZulu-Natal, is dit nie omdat daar nie in die provinsies, spesifiek in die provinsies waar een bewering is dat die departement van onderwys gekaap is, nie die werklike energie is om na behore op te tree, na behore te ondersoek, en dat ons eintlik dan maar net met 'n voortsetting sit van dieselfde situasie. Is dit nie so dat die departement in sommige provinsies sodanig gekaap is deur vakbond mense en mense wat baie belangrike rol in vakbonde speel, ook in die verlede dalk nie meer lid is nie, maar nog steeds die bande het, dat ons nie werklik kan sê dat hierdie verslag die werklike uitslag is wat op behoort te wees nie. Ons is langer as 2 jaar nou in die pad af, en dan selfs na die ondersoek waar ons in provinsies was, uit onderwysgeleerders, uit die mense wat in die vergadering sit, word die bewering steeds herhaal. So, ek het groot admirering vir die werk wat gedoen is uit die departement uit. Maar, is dit genoeg? Is dit nie te min te laat nie? Is die posie te ver of die pad af nie? Kan ons sê, dat hierdie verslag en dit wat die uit voorspreid voldoende was om die ewel uit ons onderwysstelsel uit te weer? Want die skade wat aangedoen is aan ons stelsel as gevolg van hiervan is baie baie groot, en ek weet nie of hierdie voldoende is om die skade van die reputasie van die departement ongedaan te maak. Dankie voorzitter.
No, thank you very much, honourable members. Maybe before I get into the issues of the actual report, there are a couple of issues that one would need to address. Some of the issues that honourable members are raising are not really within the purview of the Department of Basic Education, like the issue of calling the report to be presented before the committee. We actually draw the program as a select committee, and therefore it was incumbent upon us to call the report earlier. But because we've always raised the issue of support staff that leaves, and it takes a long time to fill up the post, you'll find that there will be these delays as a result of the fact that we stay for a long time without staff to coordinate our program in a manner that we don't become a Cinderella department. I'm sure that the Department of Basic Education would have been before us much earlier. Yes. So I just wanted to clarify that issue. And Mr. Wade is very happy about it. So I want you to apologize on that one. It was really because of reasons beyond one's control. You know that we've been limping without support staff for a long time. Another issue that maybe one needs to clarify, I want to spill the beans on this one, as to say personally, DM and DG, I don't have a problem with cater deployment, for as long as the cater fits the job, for as long as the cater has the qualification, for as long as the cater has the experience and the know-how to do the job. Where it goes wrong is to take Nabani Nabani on the road and to give him a serious job, then they've got a problem there. But you can't punish caters because they've got freedom of association politically, and therefore they must do the job for as long as they are good and fit and there is proof beyond a reasonable doubt that they are capable to do this job. So that is why I'm saying I'm spilling the beans on that one. Okay, let us welcome the report at GM and the comments that you made earlier, where you say that there's working on legislation, basic education laws amendment bill that you are leading, that is going to be closing a lot of the gaps based on the issues that, as honorable members, we are raising, and hope that those amendments are really going to help us to strengthen our system of education at the level of schools and districts. But the issue of dedicated unit, dedicated unit to look into the issues of jobs for kids, a dedicated unit, or on a temporary basis or on a permanent basis, because once you have a dedicated unit within the system, not unless I'm understanding it wrongly, we are meaning jobs for cash will go on and on and on. And there are people that are supposed to be dedicated to look into it. I seek clarity in that regard. To me, it says that wouldn't be a wise step forward. We need to deal with the issue and step it out, not to have people that are employed sitting there waiting for people that are tasked for jobs for cash. And you said that there is going to be a task team that you have set to ensure that they follow up on the cases that are pending. If one could have clarity in terms of the composition of the task team, because Honorable Kaula, I think, raised an issue where he said that we cannot be a referee and a player who are in the task team that is going to be making a follow-up on the cases that are pending and give us the final report. The issue of the SGP is a very important one. When we went around for our oversight in any province really, all the provinces that have been to KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, or Gauteng, whatever, whichever province you have been to, there are governing bodies that are very capable of functioning properly. And I know that the department has got programs to train governing bodies. Soon after they are elected, all of them undergo training. But there arises a critical issue here. You can train them with the basic skills, as Honorable Samka is saying. I agree with that one. But there are levels of operation. You know, when you interview a principal of a school, and the ability to determine the best candidate at that level, based on the responses that the principal is giving, it's a critical issue. It needs a person to be educated, because now you've got to listen carefully, be able to probe further. Yes, if you say the principal that we want you to employ is so, they will definitely do that. They carry instructions. But the ability now to actually listen and probe and determine the best candidate can become a problem. How are we going to deal with that one? Because they must participate. We don't want to do away with them. We don't want to exclude them from conducting interviews. But there has to be this balance of maybe strengthening our panel somehow. I don't know if the laws allow to actually bring in other SGP members from other institutions to come and strengthen the panel of a particular institution. I'm not sure. In order to ensure that, because once you employ a wrong person, the department is accountable, not the SGP. The department is accountable for having employed a principal that is not competent to run an institution. DM, how are we going to strike this balance? It is critical. We want our people to be empowered. We want them to take part in the processes of education. We want our parents to be involved. But how do we, what mechanisms do we have in place to ensure that you strike a balance? Maybe let me put those questions up that far and then invite your responses. DM over to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm going to just deal broadly with the issues and I would ask the DG and the team to deal with specifics. But I think perhaps a good starting point would be what you had raised in conversation with regard to CADA deployment as such.
Mm.
We have a very interesting phenomenon, which basically is real. We had a majority of the citizens of Johannesburg voting for the mayor, councillor Tau, whom even the EFF said was very competent and efficient and certainly preferable to the current candidate.
Mm.
And yet because of a political deployment or because of a political arrangement, a deployment was made with a less competent person. In the words of the EFF.
Mm.
Not mine. I'm saying this is what the leader said. Those were his views. Now, I'm saying that is one reality that one has to take into account, that deployments do occur. If you take the United States, for example, now, I mean, the entire administration of the Democrats is going to be replaced by an administration of the Republicans, Trump's administration, to the extent that even the Chief Justice is going to be appointed now by Trump. Those are the powers that they have. So there is a measure of CADA deployment in even advanced developed systems. However, and I want to qualify this very, very clearly. When we look at education, and I think more than one of our colleagues have raised the issue of the best interest of the child, what is it that we do to serve the best interest of the child?
Mm.
And I think it is criminal to have an unqualified educator doing a job of an educator.
Mm.
It is criminal to have a person who has just got his or her qualification and is suddenly deployed as a CADA or otherwise to a position without the relevant experience and competencies in the field.
Mm.
So the view that the department holds is very, very clear. That you and it's very similar to your views.
Mm.
Say that you must have the capacity, the ability, and the skills to do a particular job.
Yeah.
The other issues are irrelevant. Whether you are from the DA, whether you're from the EFF or the ANC, to us is irrelevant.
Mm.
Does that person have the appropriate skills to be able to serve the best interests of the child?
Mm.
And that is our view about deployment. So if in the Western Cape, a person is deployed in a position who happens to be a member of the DA but has the appropriate skills.
Mm.
How can we argue against it?
Mm.
But the problem arises when people who are not appropriately skilled or would not have the relevant competencies are appointed to those particular positions.
Mm.
And this is what you are saying in the Eastern Cape, you refer specifically to a district director.
Mm.
So I thought it's important for us to just share that particular view.
Mm.
Now, the other issue that you raised, Chairperson, and it's been raised not only by yourself, is what do we do with regard to school governing bodies and their roles in appointments? Now, if you look at the legislation, at one stage, the decision of the governing body was the final decision in appointments.
Mm.
In other words, the department had no ability to interfere with. Some 7 years ago, we amended the legislation to say that they would provide three names, and on the basis of competency, that's ability, equity, and representativity, the department would then be able to appoint a person from amongst the three, and if there is a person who is not appropriately qualified for the position, the post has to be re-advertised.
Mm-hmm.
So which means that already 7 years ago, we had that ability to make a change. What the Bella Bill, the proposed bill, says, to say that for certain positions, especially principals and deputy principals, where these people are professional leaders and managers of schools, where the functionality of the school depends largely on the ability of the leadership of itself, you require, firstly, in terms of qualifications, not only qualifications, you require qualifications, you require experience, and you require competence. What is competence? It's competencies that he or she must be a good communicator, must have ability in terms of fiscal management, must understand the democratization process, and a range of other skills that a principal should have as a leader. So if you want to become a principal, it doesn't matter whether you are from the ANC, the DA, the EFF, or the IFP. Please go ahead and apply, but you have to do a competency test to ensure that you have the ability. And please do not expect that you're going to come there having just qualified and be appointed as a principal. So the qualification, the experience, and the competency are elements. Then in terms of the management of that particular process, it does not exclude the unions, nor does it exclude the governing body. But it says that the responsibility of that mechanism lies with the department because of its sensitivity. So that is the draft legislation in relation to this particular matter. And Ms. Ngweni, I can see the very strong education influence that you had as you spoke and contributed, and it's very, very good. And I want to turn to the issues of districts, because it's been raised again by yourself. Really, thank you very much for raising it. You know, we've done phenomenally well. I think stability in our system, and I'm not saying we are perfect. I think we still have to do a lot. It's largely attributable to the fact that every quarter for the past almost 10 years, we meet the minister, the deputy minister, the DG, and the heads of and the DDGs meet with district directors across the country. Half the agenda is prepared by the department, the other half is prepared by the district directors. And they've created a community of professional practice amongst themselves. So it doesn't matter whether they're from the Western Cape or Gauteng or Limpopo, where they see best practices in terms of the task, they share this information. They also are able to raise issues from the ground to us to say, look, this is what's happening. Now, in the Eastern Cape, you have a very interesting phenomenon. From the 83 or 84 districts that we have, there are 23 in the Eastern Cape. We've argued that there are too many. So firstly, what we have to do is rationalize, and we've agreed on a reduction to 12 districts. Secondly, we've got to make sure, and I think that is one of the serious problems in the Eastern Cape, is in terms of the leadership of districts by district managers. I've had my personal experience through the intervention of how difficult it is, how difficult it becomes when you have the wrong district director. Whether it's in terms of assessing how much furniture is required in the district, or in terms of just monitoring the performance of educators. And we've taken it upon ourselves from a governance perspective to ensure that we improve. In fact, we have a dedicated person, and the DG will elaborate on it, who is the former, very interesting, the former head of department of the Western Cape, is now deployed in the Eastern Cape to ensure that we basically develop that kind of strength in governance, particularly at the level of the region. So I hope that helps you in some measure. I think we must recognize the constitutional realities. You know, we're going to be celebrating on the 10th of December the 20 years of our democracy. And one of the tasks that I had was basically to put together, having been involved in the process of the Bill of Rights, a collation or a simulation of articles for people who were actually involved in the negotiations. And you would find from there an article when the book is released next week. You will see from the IFP emphasizing the importance of the federal elements within the Constitution and their perspective. Now, we cannot argue on the one hand that in terms of the Constitution, education is a concurrent component. We cannot argue and we cannot disagree with the fact that the employment of staff and personnel in terms of the post-provisioning norms is the responsibility of provinces. We cannot argue that the HR management within provinces lies with the provinces. But where we agree with Mr. Kawala is if it's not working, what do we do to change that? In other words, whether it's in KwaZulu-Natal or the Eastern Cape or anywhere else, I think we have a responsibility. Now, let me just show you KwaZulu-Natal. They've had huge problems with post-provisioning law. The DG was saying, we sent a dedicated team from the National Department to KwaZulu-Natal to assist them in removing the surplus in terms of formulating the post-provisioning laws. In the Eastern Cape, the department had taken a union to court because of the non-compliance with the post-provisioning laws. So things are happening in terms of intervention, but I think what you are arguing for is be a little more assertive. The difficulty that we have is that more than 95% of the budget is distributed among across the 9 provinces. We have less than 5% that stays with the national department. So whilst your primary and principal role is policy making and broad oversight, I just don't think there's sufficient resources. Because when you intervene, nobody from Treasury says here's extra money. You send your best people, you diminish your capacity nationally to go and help a province. And when it happens in 2 provinces at the same time, believe you me, it's extremely difficult. You know, it happened in Limpopo and in Eastern Cape at the same time. We almost were bad in the national department. Because you can't now go and send a person who's very junior, who doesn't have the authority to bring about change. You've got to send a senior person or senior personnel. And what we've raised, basically, we're busy with draft legislation in relation to that particular matter to say that when interventions take place, what has to happen with regard to resources, both financial and human resource capacity. And we have to manage that particular task because I think interventions are critical, and that's the point that has been raised by my colleague to say, you know, you have to deal with this issue of oversight in a very, very serious way. Now, you've said so many things with regard to there was a question asked about we have a dedicated line. We have a dedicated line within the department, a toll-free line, and we have a dedicated line with the presidency. Now, it's very, very interesting. I'm not even going to talk about our province. But in terms of the responses to queries that have been sent to the presidency in relation to education, the response rate has been over 90% across all 9 provinces. That's a good sign. To say that when the president refers a matter to the Department of Education, the response is over 90% on average across 9 provinces. That's a good sign. And with regard to the department itself, we take that task very, very seriously, so we agree with you that the toll-free number is. I think, Mr. Kaula, you are right, honorable member. You know, if we believe that we haven't really gone deep enough in relation to this kind of situation, notwithstanding the outcome of a criminal matter, we should pursue it. If there is a reasonable suspicion that more has to be done, we should pursue it. Now, what we've done, and then the DG will explain on it, we've said that, look, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, I must say, we are grateful to them. They provided us with support staff who have forensic skills to basically follow these matters. And they are happy to basically continue to investigate the outstanding matters and any other matters that we wish to refer to them. So we would take your recommendation very, very seriously, and I certainly would encourage the DG to draw the attention to the fact that even some matters that might have been deemed to be closed by the team might, on request, have to be reviewed. So that reopen, so that we could come to the conclusion. Because what we don't want to do is we do not want to undermine the system of education. Now, you know, colleagues sometimes say, SATU, SATU, SATU. I wish you were in conversations when we are with SATU. Then you would wonder whether we are basically an alliance. We are forthright, we are honest, whether it's SATU, whether it's NEPTOSA, whether it's South Africans on the way in. Because I think the important thing out there is this. But what do? We tend to generalize. So, for example, you would find that political parties would say that ENA was not written because of SATU. But they won't say that SATU, NEPTOSA, say Afrikaans, Honor, Ethnery, all got together and decided not to write ENA.
All five
of the unions decided together. Suddenly it becomes the baby of SATU. It means that the unions themselves have to take responsibility, the other unions have to take responsibility for that. And I'm saying to you, I'm not saying that they are not culpable, but where SATU has made, if any official SATU makes a statement that is contrary to our policy and ethos, please bring it to the attention of the Deputy Minister or the Minister. I promise you, we will take steps immediately. We won't even wait for anything, because I think we have a particular responsibility in that regard. So I think by and large, what we've got to say, Mr. Kaula, from your side, is really the investigations in those suspicious cases must continue. Secondly, that we have to deploy appropriate human resource capacity, especially in our districts too, so that the monitoring and evaluation takes place appropriately. And thirdly, that the negative dimension of cadre deployment must be removed. In other words, deployment without competency, skills, and ability is something that we shouldn't tolerate. Ms. Nguyenia, you've raised much of what you've raised is true. Where there is fraud, and people have misled the states into believing that they're qualified when they're not qualified, or receive benefits when they're not entitled to it. There's a unit called the Forfeiture Unit with the Department of Justice. It is entitled to seize the proceeds of any crime. They can even attach your pensions. I know when I was Minister of Justice, in less than one year, we seized more than 3.5 billion rand as proceeds of crime. So I'm saying, and at that time, Willy Hofmeyer was the head of that particular unit. And it does so much. And interestingly enough, some of the proceeds that we had seized and attached went back to justice, went to education. Quite interestingly, so that our children benefited from that. I suppose I had a bias towards education even then. I think most of your other comments are comments that we can't disagree about. Just to say, and I hand over to the DG now. It's with regard to the legislation itself, the draft legislation. It's not only about school governing bodies. It's about a wide range of things. It's about admission, it's about policy, it's about authority of governing bodies, vis-à-vis the authority of head of department, where there was a lack of clarity and where the courts have pronounced in a particular way would make sure that the legislation complies with the dictates of the court. So these issues have indeed been raised, and we hope to bring that legislation forward for discussion. Obviously, what has to happen is we're going to invite public comment. Once that takes place, the unions have already been engaged. All the unions have already been engaged in this matter. Governing body associations have been engaged. Principal associations have been engaged. So now it's really to get broad public comment. Once that happens, it basically goes to cabinet for approval to submit to parliament, and then you obviously will be seized with that task. My last remark is, you know, the minister is very fond of the Select Committee chairperson. Don't think that because she's absent, but you know historically, your meetings take place on a Wednesday, and on Wednesday cabinet. So what as a Minister of Basic Education, she is obliged to attend cabinet meetings. So when you see the Deputy Minister, it means that he speaks on his behalf as well as the Minister. So please accept that spirit. And in fact, we take your Select Committee very, very seriously. We were in the Eastern Cape the last time, and I remember I flew in the morning, and it was pouring. I had to walk from the airplane to the airport, some 500 meters, and I was absolutely wet. But because I was returning that day, the clothes had to get dry as I basically carried out. But I still attended your meeting. I was there until the end, and immediately after the presentation, I left. But we will continue to support your Select Committee. More importantly, it's also because I have a good sense of what the NCOP is all about. I was its chief whip for 5 years, so I understand provincial interests and how they function within the arena. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and invited again.
Thank you, DG. Just a couple of minutes to attend to the issues.
Yeah, I'll try to do that, Chair, Honourable Chair, as quickly as I can. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chair, let me also reciprocate the very good and complimentary remarks from your side to say that I'm extremely elated with the fact that the committee is united behind getting things sorted out. More often than not, when you present a report such as this one, a multi-party forum like this gets polarized, and people take positions and they fight instead of getting us to get things sorted out and get them right. And for that, I really want to commend commend your committee and your approach even in dealing with this matter. And the second point that I want to make, Chair, and thank you very much for having explained the fact that we're not avoiding to come to the committee. In fact, to the portfolio committee, I appear there every week. And I've complained with them that if there's any person who's praying very hard and wish that this parliament must be moved to Pretoria, it's myself, because we're spending so much money coming to Cape Town. Every week I'm in Cape Town, without exception. And I'm open to come to your committee anytime you want me to come, because this is one committee that will make concurrent functions work, Deputy Minister. We are battling with concurrent functions. And I explain a little bit around that. Because you come from the NCOP, you will help us to get things to work as a concurrent function, as basic education. Chair, I've elected to move from the bottom up. I agree with you that we need to up the game when it comes to recruitment of school principals. That is why we are saying over and above an interview, by the way, and I've heard Honorable Gwenya saying that she's got an HR background. She will agree with me, as somebody also has got an HR background, that an interview is just but one means of recruitment. And it's not enough. There are many things that you might leave out, focusing only on the interview. That's why we are saying for school principals, we are introducing competency assessment for all SMS members in the public service, directors upwards. You cannot be appointed unless you go through a competency assessment over and above the interview. It's because this government recognized the fact that an interview is not a perfect means of recruiting people. You need to bring in other measures to make sure that you get the right people for the job. The task team, Chair, of course, it's going to be led by DBE. The National Education Policy Act is very clear. On matters that relate to policy and monitoring, it's our responsibility as a national department. Provinces will come on board to report and to give us the information that we require. But monitoring, it's our responsibility as a national department. And this is how this task team is constituted. Dedicated unit chair, maybe I went through the presentation very fast. There's no dedicated unit for this. People are drawn from the responsible line functions. People who deal with labor relations matters at DBE are the ones who are going to deal with this. But a dedicated unit, it's not something that we are considering. You are right. It's a challenge at the moment. Once the challenge is disposed, people go back to their responsible line functions. Well, I'm happy that there's also unanimity in our understanding and understanding and interpretation of the notion of cadre deployment. I nearly got wrapped around the knuckles last time when we presented to the portfolio, because I said, cadre, the notion cadre is in the literature of public service. It's there. There's nothing wrong about it. The problem is the way it's implemented. If you link the appointment of wrong people to cadre deployment, then you get into trouble. And even in the public space in South Africa, the way cadre deployment is understood, it's problematic. And I mean in the literature, in the policies of the public service, there's cadre deployment. And what it means is you appoint people who are suitably qualified, the right experience, they can be drawn from whatever background. But people have misused it. We accept that it's been misused. So I'm happy, and it helps to guide us in terms of carrying out our work. Honorable Hatting, I do appreciate your observation, but we do believe that, you know, the worst thing to do is to take these challenges and accept them as a permanent feature of the basic education sector. I do accept that they have damaged the image of the sector, of the profession. That's why we are saying even the recommendations that are made by the ministerial task team, the minister said, we will have to implement them immediately. We have a responsibility to restore the dignity of the teaching profession. But I do not believe that the damage, or we've reached the point of being irredeemable in terms of the damage that has been incurred. But I do accept your observation to say that we have suffered damage, an immense damage as a teaching profession. And the fact that we're moving, and the minister and the deputy minister said to us, you don't hide anything. That's why we bring all the 81 cases to you. We don't hide anything. All the 39, we bring them here. We're even saying to you, this is how we intend going about implementing them. We are even open to your advice in terms of helping us to take this forward. We also accept that provinces, the situation differ from one province to the other. I agree with you, in some instances, you don't have the energy and the will to ensure that policies are implemented correctly. But I think that with your support and with your guidance going forward, we will actually make every level of the system to perform. Education, unfortunately, is a Schedule 4 function, concurrent functions. We can't do it alone at national. And it's for that reason, even some of the recommendations, they have to be implemented by provinces, but we need to monitor them. Our responsibility is to monitor that they implement them and they yield the desired outcomes. Honorable Samka, I'm sure the chair cleared the issue of being considered last. So I would love to come here as often as I should, but I humbly request not every week. Mm-hmm. Because I still have to run the department that will have to call me to account for again. But I can assure you that we are prepared to come. How many cases are involved? How much money is involved? Honestly, we've not worked out the figures. But I think as we audit and go back to monitor what happened, we should be able to give you those figures. And I think this matter was also raised by, just want to check whether Honorable Mbambo Sibukwan, if I get the pronunciation right. So we are definitely going to make sure that we leave no stone unturned. If Reginie Hobosana will have to go back to it. The good news is that I thought the deputy minister would give you this because I don't want to to steal the thunder. It belongs to the minister and deputy minister. Is that there's a new HOD appointed in the Eastern Cape. Mr. Kujana, that we used to come with to your honorable committee, is now the new SG starting from the 1st, Temba Kujana. And I hope he'll bring fresh energy. Things will be sorted out much quicker, and he'll be able to deal with all these challenges that you have raised. I do have a role as part of monitoring defined by the Act, but unfortunately I cannot act as the accounting officer in provinces because the law and the constitution are very clear. My role in terms of the accounting officer ends in Pretoria. Beyond Pretoria, I have to work with you, the two ministers, to give us permission to move in and sort out things. So we will definitely make sure that indeed we try and make things work. I agree with you, Honorable Somka, that parents might not be educated, but parents know what is right for their children. Because these are their children. They might not be educated, but they can see, they can distinguish a good teacher from a bad teacher. They can also distinguish a bad principal from a good principal. I always give my mother as an example. She's never been to school, but she got all nine of us to go to school. And what she used to do, I mean, she was not educated, she used to check pages. which page has something that's written on.
Mm.
If it's not, the page is not written on, you have to explain.
Mm.
She would even call teachers in the surrounding to help her to monitor whether we are going to school. So educated or not, parents can indeed make sure that you know there's a difference in the education of their children. And honorable Mpambo Sibukwana, I Deputy Minister responded, we do have a toll-free number in the department and in the presidency. Strengthening of monitoring, Deputy Minister also covered. Tomorrow and Friday, the Minister and Deputy Minister has convened a meeting with district directors. So we're also monitoring through that forum. The issue of taxpayers' money, I've indicated that once we are ready with the figures will come back to you. And Honorable Ngwenya, I think the Deputy Minister also responded to the issue of CADA deployment there as well. We've clarified. And by the way, in the department, you get people appointed from across political. We don't even know. But I am aware that people are drawn from all the five unions, from different political parties. We do know. They do tell me. They do tell me, Honorable Kaula. So. And then, the involvement of parents and so on, I'm sure I've responded to that. Honorable Kaula, I think the issue of CADA deployment has been addressed. Tasking the same provinces, we are going to monitor them closely. And next time, I'm sure we'll be able to demonstrate that to you. The Ilembe is it Ilembe district and Ugu, your observations there, will follow them up quite closely. I hope in KZN also a new SG has been appointed, Dr. Nzama. I'm working very close with Dr. Nzama, given the fact that we come from the same line function. He was in curriculum. I was in curriculum.
Mm.
I was with them on Saturday. I have pledged to support him and support the province.
Mm.
And I've said to him, he must succeed in case of that.
Mm.
I've shared with them challenges coming from your visits. I've shared with them our observations from our monitoring. And the MEC was there from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They spent the whole weekend there. I'm very optimistic that things will turn around for the better. Chair, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. I think, thank you for the responses. They were more than adequate. And thank you also for demonstrating the willingness as the department DM to make a follow-up on issues that we raise as this particular select committee when we conduct oversight or when we raise issues even writing to the department to attend to certain critical issues. We welcome this report, but we want to believe that because it is work in progress, it is not going to be the last engagement that we have on it. But I feel that maybe the committee agrees with me that we need to give space to work to be done, so that at a particular point in time, maybe beginning of the first term next year, we then call the stakeholders to get a sense of the progress that has been made in terms of addressing the issues that are raised in the report. Moving together, because this is our Department of Education. We care and we love it just as much as you do. We want to see you succeeding. That is the purpose of oversight. It's not to pinpoint mistakes or shortcomings, but we want to see our department succeeding and our children there being given a future that they deserve to be given.
Mm.
We also do understand that the minister is held up in cabinet on Wednesdays. It's very unfortunate. It is the same with all the other ministers. Don't get it wrong. we are responsible for 9 committees in this body. So you can't come to us on a weekly basis. It's impossible. So the other ministers that are responsible to account to the committee are also held up on Wednesdays, for as long as the meetings are on Wednesdays. But we do want to thank you, Deputy Minister. You've always been with us. Always been with us. Whether it is debates in the House, whether it is other issues that you need to attend to, you are always with the Select Committee, and we have got that sentiment that really do please us, because you have been part of the National Council of Provinces and you know the operations there, you know the load that we are carrying as a committee, and you make it easy for us to work with the department. It's Christmas time. We are not going to be meeting until the next year. We are going to be meeting for results, announcements of results. I think it will be after Christmas.
Yeah, it will be on the 4th.
So on the 4th of January.
Of January, yes. The committee members will be invited. I want to suppose DG to go and receive the results of the nation. Whether good.
Invitations are on
the
way.
I want that corrected.
The entire committee wishes to come. I think we can extend
an invitation. I've signed letters to the entire
GM and DG, please make sure. I don't like it when I am there all on my own without the members of the Select Committee, whereas the Portfolio Committee is there in numbers. So please extend an invitation to all of us so that we go and enjoy. Because
DJ is already signed.
Oh, thank you.
Signed
thank
last
you.
Night
then
you'll
be going.
I knew
I was coming here.
So I want to say that you enjoy the festive season, and you get all the blessings that can be showered unto you for the good service that you are rendering for the country. I don't know about Christmas. The whip of the committee is saying, why didn't you bring Christmas for the members? I don't know if there is such a budget.
No, it can't be like that. It can't be like that. Because we have been with you throughout. Defending you.
We have kept you waiting for them.
Okay. Those were my concluding remarks, but Honorable Kaola wants to say something.
I want to agree with you, Chair. The Deputy Minister is always with us, not just with us.
Mm.
He engages with us. Fruitfully.
Mm-hmm.
No, Chairperson, I wanted to give the DG one smaller nyana food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the issues presented. DG, can we not improve on the audits that are done in schools?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money goes to waste because we are auditing wrongly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the audits that are done, they are so biased. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of money. There is a lot of money that is going to waste. It's just food for thought. Unfortunately, I will not be there on the 4th of January. It's my wedding anniversary.
Yes! Leave the wedding, leave the wedding.
You can bring the partner.
How many years
we want to go? 10 years. This, GM, lastly, I got a very funny question from one of the members, and so be asking me if the Eastern Cape Department of Education is under administration. And I said, to my knowledge, no. When they asked the MEC there, he said he does not know. Will you please attend to that one? Because to my knowledge, if a department is under administration, there would be an administrator in charge of the administration of the department. And I said, to my knowledge, no. Now you've told us that the HOD for the Department of Education has been appointed. And I think it is the start of the change of the situation in the Eastern Cape. And please the support that you ask. I know that it will always be through the NCOP, as the minister explained, that I can't intervene in the Eastern Cape unless you give me powers as NCOP. So we are saying we're going to be sitting and monitoring and liaising with you quite strongly, because it's not about officials, it's about the children that you are servicing as a nation. With those words, thank you very much. God bless you.
Yes.